The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive.
My allergies are killing me. Okay, here we go.
Warning, this podcast contains strong language, which may be unsuitable for children, and stupid humor, which may be unsuitable for adults. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to the Shit Show.
Coming to you from the basement on a hill where only a mere half can of Lysol air freshener, seriously, I've emptied two already, will mask the smell of cat feces in this godforsaken house. This is Scary as Shit. We're a horror podcast with a tad bit of nonsense. I lie mixed in for good measure. My name is Anthony. That's Kevin. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, hello.
Tonight we have music from my good friends that I've never met, Barnaby Jones, and we'll be reviewing The Last Shift. I'm sorry, not the, just Last Shift. We'll discuss this week's top stories, and of course, we'll play the seven deadly questions with our very special guest host, Molly Welsh. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for coming over.
Thanks for asking.
What's up?
What's up? Tiffany's also here.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, girl.
She doesn't have a microphone, so. Well, we have a lot to get to tonight, so let's just start off with some nonsense.
Dee, go break the ice.
What? Yeah. Why me?
Yeah, someone's got to do it. Just go.
What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
What the hell does this have to do with anything? Tell me what's happening!
What's wrong is the eye.
Why would I don't even know why you would say that.
They made me feel self-conscious.
Did they?
Is it off-putting? It doesn't look real.
That skin tone is a... a good match. Oh, well, when you move the other one, I guess I can tell a little bit, if I'm being honest.
What the hell was that?
All right, here's your nonsense headline for the night. Now that's a battle scar to be proud of. Here's your news story. A player for the French rugby team, AS Carcassonne, suffered a torn penis during a recent match requiring 11 stitches. I shit you not, this is his name. This is for real. Hayden Peacock told the French footy blog, quote, "The pain was all right, and then at halftime I was like, I've got to have a look. I checked on it, and the skin is half ripped off, and I was like, shit, where's the doctor? Where's the doctor? Unquote. Anybody have, well, Kevin, first-hand experience, Molly, second or third-hand experience. Anybody... heard about
well just
this.
Listening to you, I think my penis just exploded.
11 stitches.
How big is that thing, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man,
how close together were those stitches?
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Can you believe? Yeah. I mean, I worked with a guy years ago who told me a story that he had broken his boner one time. You know, he was fooling around with a girl, and like he was drunk and fell off a bed right on his wiener, and like he's, you know, of course it doesn't have an actual bone, but he says that he broke it and it was all messed up. But I mean, seriously, what's amazing to me is that he played the game, and he wasn't wearing a cup. And he still doesn't wear a cup even after this.
Well, he probably doesn't need to anymore. Does it say like exactly like how it happened? Was it just like, did he get kicked?
He got pulled down. He got tackled. And so on, on all of our sites tomorrow, you'll see the picture. I'm going to put up a picture and that that Hayden Peacock put up on his Instagram of being pulled down by his wiener. That's horrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
I'm really, really glad I don't have a penis.
You guys speechless right now.
Jones to catch an alien predator.
Everyone seems always fighting for change, but actions seem to be the rule of the day. We're screaming, we want at the top of our lungs, because it seems like we'll finally have our say. Blowing off deep, replacing this, a false sense of entitlement, because it's so cold, you're a shame.
infants.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing is in infants. I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not. He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Now on to the news headlines that don't include torn penises.
Thank you.
Smelly pirate hookers have destroyed something else we love. In an op-ed to The Hill, Hannibal executive producer Martha De Laurentiis cites illegal downloads as a factor in the decision to cancel NBC's Hannibal. She's quoted saying, "Maybe the millions of people who illegally download movies and TV shows are thinking only of the top-billed stars excusing their actions with the notion that one viewing will not do much harm to a superstar. But on a set, every last crew member and creative is affected if the fruits of their labor are stolen." Thoughts?
Let's beat up anybody who is going to contribute to canceling Hannibal.
Oh, my God. Right. I mean, it's bullshit. Now, when I was younger, I do admit, you know, I caught onto the LimeWire craze a little bit and downloaded, you know, illegally some albums. And that was my thinking. Like, I downloaded back then a Coldplay album. I was like, yeah, they're making millions of dollars. You know, one download's not going to hurt. But, you know, you do start thinking, well, it's not just like the band. You have like the engineers. And then, you know, when you're talking about a TV show, like there's hundreds of people involved, you know, in especially like a 24 episode season, hundreds of people involved, and, you know, guys that are making, you know, probably 20 grand a year that are getting screwed because of assholes like younger Anthony. So I think, you know, I say fuck you to the pirates out there.
Well, I'm a little confused as to why people are illegally downloading it. I've seen the first two seasons of Hannibal, and I believe I watched the entire first season on Hulu.
Right.
The free version.
Yeah.
Is it not on there anymore?
No, it is. It's I don't know about Hulu. I'm not on Hulu, but I mean, it's on Prime or Netflix, one of the two.
Prime.
Is it on Prime?
Yeah, it's on Prime.
Okay. And like, can't you go on to NBC.com and like the next day watch the episodes?
I think you can, yeah. So how are people illegally downloading
well,
it?
Well, I don't have cable, so I can't do the, like, I can't watch Walking Dead on AMC.com.
Right, yeah, okay.
So I couldn't watch Hannibal, but the boyfriend has Prime, so the boyfriend and I are just starting season two, and when I tell him what you just said, he's going to cry. Oh, I'm serious.
Boy. I don't mean to bring heartbreak to people. I know, it's bullshit. And what they did, three seasons. You watch Hannibal, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I didn't catch that last season when, well, I won't tell you.
Yeah,
if
don't.
You're in the second.
Don't.
But yeah, I saw the first two seasons. It was really good. I really got into it. But
yeah,
it's
so,
beautiful.
Yeah, I watched the first season and loved it. And, you know, I mean, just all around, it's great. And not picked up for a fourth season because, and I'm sure there were other factors, but this is one of them.
I mean, that sounds like the last on a list of factors. There have to be many other reasons. You can't just blame pirates for not renewing Hannibal. Like,
right.
There are people with money that are freaks and would be like, keep going
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds a little reaching to me.
I wouldn't doubt, though, that, you know, kind of like the Family Guy thing or Community or Arrested Development, there's like this cult following where another, you know, another one of these kind of streaming services might pick it up and, you know, renew it at least to close out the storyline or whatever. So moving on, here you go, guys. Backstreet's back for
right.
The Dead.
Oh, no.
The Wait. Trailer for Syfy's Dead 7, developed by Backstreet boy Nick Carter and produced by The Asylum, responsible for shit like Sharknado and Transmorphers, was released this week. It premieres on April 1st and is described as a zombie western futuristic horror film about a ragtag band of gunslingers operating during a post-apocalyptic plague. And it stars a fantastic slew of our fave boy band members, Nick Carter, AJ McClain, and Howie Doro, or however the hell you say his last name, from the Backstreet Boys, Joey Fatone and Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC, Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees, members of O-Town, and many others.
This is real.
Yeah. You didn't watch
it? No, I'm looking, like, I see it on IMDb now. No, I did not watch it, because unless all of them die in the first episode, no one's going to watch it. Oh, it's a movie.
It's a movie. Okay, we're going to take a time out here, and we're going to have you watch the trailer, Molly.
You guys.
It's for real.
I like, from the makers of Sharknado.
Yeah, great selling point.
It probably will be. Sharknado's huge.
I know.
Jessica Simpson is in it.
Is she really?
Somebody who looks just like her is in it. Wouldn't with surprise a, that, me. Like, nothing back there. Look. Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, that's for real.
Okay.
I mean, I've never seen Sharknado. I know people who love those, like, super dumb, cheesy sci-fi monster movies. Yeah. I hate them. I watched one, and I was like, I'm never going to watch another one of these.
Some of them can be fun.
It was either Friday nights or Saturday nights where they would play a sci-fi original movie.
Right.
And when my daughter was, like, 9, like, 8 and 9, that's what we would do together.
Right.
On, like, Saturday night. Because it was funny and, like, fun, and we could talk over it, and we didn't care, and it was, like, a bonding thing.
Yeah.
But, no, this is not, like, film. This is not.
Oh, my God.
I mean, oh, man, people are going to be like, she's a snob. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, seriously. Zombies. I can't wait to hear the soundtrack.
No.
All right, moving on. All-male Ghostbusters remake? Who needs it? Quote, there is no status with that for us. Paul Feig was further along with his process than we were, and he closed his deal, so that's the only Ghostbusters world that's being explored right now over at Sony. That comes from Joe Russo, who is the director of Captain America Civil War, along with his brother. And, you know, they're doing all the new Avengers movies, or I guess the part one and part two of the last of the trilogy, whatever. I don't get that shit. Anyways, they confirm there will be no Ghostbusters featuring an all-male cast. And as we, like, just in passing mentioned last week, Channing Tatum was tied to this, and then Chris Pratt was also tied to this now defunct project. We didn't need another Ghostbusters movie, right?
No.
I mean, the whole point of the Ghostbusters movies, I thought, back in the day, was to, like, you know, place one in Chicago, place one in this other city, and you can just have... I thought that that's what the plan was all along, was to have different stories. So when the all-female came out, for me, it was like, oh, great, they're going to explore this...
They're actually doing
universe.
It. Yeah.
And then people were all pissy about it being a remake, and, like, from my understanding in the beginning, it was like, oh, we could franchise this
right thing. Well, I think that's still the thought behind it, because there's going to be this animated movie that Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman are behind, and like there's still going to be this kind of universe, but I mean, I guess probably for now, I mean, you know, if it keeps going, like if they do expand this Ghostbusters universe, I'm sure we will see another all-male cast. I kind of like that idea of, like, you know, putting one in, like their company is expanding and they're moving to big, you know, the
like
cities.
Like a subway.
Yeah.
Like, just do it. I mean, I would love that. Then they have, like, conventions and shit. That would be so funny.
I'm down with that.
Universe.
I didn't know about, I don't hate Channing Tatum. It's fine.
He's fine.
He is fine.
He's fine.
No comment.
He was great in Hateful Eight, man. I like that a lot. Yeah.
I'm gay for Channing. It's fine. The Crow is dead. For real this time. Relativity's remake of The Crow has run into some Hollywood drama that has essentially killed any hope of getting it off the ground. The Edward R. Pressman Film Corporation lodged papers to deny Relativity from any rights to sequels, prequels, or remakes. Basically, what happened is that Dana Brunetti, who's the studio head for Relativity, removed Corin Hardy from the project, who was going to be the director, which pissed Pressman off, and then they claimed breach of contract, which rendered said contract null and void. I mean, there's already like 4 or 5 Crow movies.
Right.
I mean, I like them all.
Have you seen them all?
I have.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have. I like them. I mean, just because, I don't know.
Even the one with Edward Furlong?
Of course. I love Eddie Furlong.
Who doesn't?
Anybody heartbroken about this?
Not at all.
Nope.
Great. Moving on. Okay. Kevin, you're going to appreciate this one. Molly, you might too. I don't know you that well, though. Killer clowns from outer space will be invading our homes again. Stephen Chiodo, who's the director and writer for the original film, announced that he and his team are pursuing a long arc series for cable. It is a sequel and a remake. He calls it a requel. And then, get this, he says, it's a trilogy in four parts. What? There it is.
That's what I think.
Trilogy in four parts, continuing adventures of new people who are experiencing a clown invasion. It's fucking great, end quote. He ended his presser with, it's fucking great. Is it fucking great, Stephen Chiodo?
I don't know.
have you seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Molly?
I think I have, but it was one of those, like, you know, it didn't stay. It didn't have any lasting effect.
Right.
This does not make me regret getting rid of cable.
I don't know what it is about that film, but when I was a kid, I loved that movie. That was like my favorite movie. I watched it so many times.
Nice.
And then I think that I
you made
it
me
to
watch
you.
It in high school
we
one time.
I made you watch it. That was like the first time I'd seen it in like 10 years, and we were both like, "What the fuck is this?"
It's just awful.
It is really awful. But I still have it on DVD.
I'll give it another shot.
It's a classic, but it's really
it's
out
a
there.
Classic. God,
I would really like to see that in a theater instead of watching it in my home. You know?
Yeah.
Let's just hope that some programmer gets a hair up his
ass.
I'm
sure.
On Halloween You could
count on probably Alamo to do something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And lastly, let's go see a vampirical opera. American Horror Story will be returning for a sixth season and will be combining two ideas. Showrunner Ryan Murphy, the genius, said his team has always been influenced by the opera and adds that horror often deals with the innocence of children and their wide-eyed way into it. Both ideas we're working with have elements of children. So we can expect to see in this sixth season, like is either last week or the week before, we had talked about Lady Gaga said that she's going to make an appearance. But we can expect in the sixth season the return of Kathy Bates, Dennis O'Hare, Angela Bassett, Sarah Paulson, Finn Wittrock, Wes Bentley, Cheyenne Jackson, and Matt Bomer.
Nice.
Cool.
So... vampire kids. I'm down.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing, American Horror Story.
I love Ryan Murphy. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I trust those guys.
Yeah, for sure. Good old FX. Mm-hmm. They put out some good shit.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Stay up to date on any breaking story by checking out our social media pages. We're on Twitter at Scary Shit Radio. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/scaryasshit and Tumblr at scaryasshit.tumblr.com. And as always, you can send in your comments, questions, suggestions, the like to scaryasshit666@gmail.com.
Wait a minute. I know who you are. Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
Hello, Molly.
Hello.
People are going to notice a theme here in the first few weeks of the show. Molly also recorded on the album of the musical that I wrote.
I did.
And she was brave enough to actually meet me at my house. We'd never met before. Get in my car and drive to another stranger's house.
With the promises of a studio.
And PBR.
Yeah.
And so things worked out really well.
Yeah, I had a good time doing that.
Good,
thanks
I'm glad.
Asking.
I have to let you hear it sometime. Nobody's heard it yet.
No. No, we haven't.
You'll get it. I haven't even listened to it for a long time. I needed to take a break.
You have to like remove yourself from stuff like
that.
My God. Tunnel vision and all that. I get it.
Been like 2 years just in it. So
yeah.
Well, so thanks for coming over. Let's see here. You were just in the studio this weekend.
I hung out with Jess, who hung out with you guys last week. All Young Girls are machine guns. We're recording. We were at Make Believe Studios all weekend long. It was magical.
How was it?
Dude, I had so much fun. We got all of our instruments tracked by the end of the first 2 days. And next weekend, we're doing all vocals, which is just as intimidating because there's four vocalists.
Yeah, so for sure.
There's a lot of parts, and we have trumpet, auxiliary percussion, and we need to track a piano. So we have 2 days worth of work ahead of us.
Holy smokes. Who was engineering for you?
Jeremy Deaton recorded us and mixed us, and Rick Carson took the lead on kind of just big picture.
Yeah.
What does the band need right now? And he kind of got us to focus, and the two of them as a pair was really, they were really great. They're great dudes. Their space.
I know. I haven't been down there yet. I want to see.
They're having a grand opening on April 2nd. Yeah. Like, come one, come all, come check us out. And we're recording in that space while it's still kind of a construction zone.
Right.
Which, like, the floor of the main recording room was really dusty and smooth. John, our bass player, he was, his fingers were getting a little, like, ouchy. So he just, like, reached down and ran his fingers in the dust. And then played, and he was like, I got some of that make-believe magic dust in this take, and it worked. It was cool. It was a really good time.
I'm glad. I'm super excited. I met Rick one time, and he was just a super, like, genuine dude.
Yeah.
And he is smart as shit when it comes to this. I mean, he knows what he's doing. So I'm super excited for him and everybody that's getting in there to record. So I'm happy. So is this an EP or full length?
Well, we are planning on a full length album, but at this time we're just trying to get these four tracks done and out of the way.
Yeah.
So we'll probably do some more recording after our little June tour.
Is that the one down to Colorado?
Yeah, we're in Hastings on June 9th, Fort Collins on the 10th, Denver on the 11th, and then we might book a show on the 12th, but everybody else has to be back at work on Monday. And I might stay and do some float tank stuff in Boulder with a few friends. And then I have to be back to see Stephen King on the 14th because I'm going to cry. I can't even think about him being in the same town without like just being really overwhelmed. Like, you guys.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
I know, like, I heard you.
Do we know where he's going to be at yet?
The Bookworm.
He's actually going to, in that tiny bookstore here? He's going to be in that bookstore?
That's the word on the street, yo.
Holy man, I'll tell you what.
They get the best shit at the Bookworm.
They do. I love, oh my God.
Those and ladies are pretty.
They're so sweet, rad. Too. And like, because I take Eben in there just, you know, sometimes just to hang. And, oh man, they're so nice. Well, that's good. Yeah, I'm super pumped. I mean, I'll be a stay-at-home dad by that point, so I'll have the time to go hang out with Steve.
I will then, too.
Good.
Yeah, I'll be working on Nebraska Shakespeare at that point, but
all right, well,
I will make time.
Good transition. So you're doing what for Nebraska Shakespeare again?
I was their sound designer for 5 years, and then I took a 3-year hiatus, and I'm back in action this summer. We're doing kind of a Throne of Blood styled Macbeth. I mean, that's the inspiration for it. So the what are traditionally the witches are now weird sisters, and there's seven of them as the text lays it out, and they're sort of Japanese influenced. So I'm using some weird music from like 60s Japanese horror films and a lot of taiko drumming for the battles and things like that.
Wow. So okay, so sound design, kind of dig into that a little bit. What does that entail?
Right. It entails whatever the performance and the director call for. So for Macbeth, I'm basically just scoring it like you would score a film.
Okay.
But it's a living, breathing thing, and there are actors who are not the same every time, so it has to be able to be organic. A lot of scoring transitions, scoring the battles, definitely. And then the weird sisters, there's almost like this, they permeate everything, so they'll kind of have a theme. Lady Mac might have a theme.
Yeah.
I haven't really figured all of that out yet. And then there's, of course, the practical sounds like an alarm or whatever. Right. And then for The Taming of the Shrew, they're doing an all-male production, and it's the more traditional Elizabethan, like it'll kind of be like the world stage right up there. And we're doing a little bit of Foley, and I have four actors who are musicians, so we will have like a musician pit, and I will work with them and a composer, and they'll play live yeah, like a mandolin or... we're trying to find a lute, but that's not like easy to just be like, yo, give me a lute that you
I know
might
so
not
many lutists
and it'll be in the heat.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So, so I'm still working on that, but they're two completely different
right
sound designs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really just whatever the production calls.
That's
for.
Man. That's, and so wait, that's in July.
It's in June.
It's in June. Okay.
The second week of June, Shrew opens. The third week of June, Macbeth opens, and we're finally, like, all of the performances start at 8, right? But for Mac, we are doing an 11 p.m. start time one night, so it'll be, like, wow, uber creepy at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the last week, they run in rep, so it'll be Shrew one night, Mac one
right
night, Shrew one night, blah.
Oh, man, I love, love, and it, I mean, it's still at,
Elmwood.
Yeah,
still at Elmwood Park. It's still free. It's one of the few Shakespeare festivals that's still free in the country.
And it's good quality shit, too. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Dude. Yeah, so, these directors are amazing people. And the dude who's directing Macbeth, his name is Vincent Carlson Brown, and he's like, he is one of the coolest, most articulate people. Like, I don't even know how many Star Wars tattoos that dude has, but he's legit. And we were going through a design meeting, and he was like, all right, we got 7 Star Wars references in the costumes. I'm a happy guy.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. We'll just pull out lightsabers for a battle some year. But,
nice.
You know, it's going to
well,
be sweet.
That's fun. And let's see, what else? What else? Just in life, what are you doing?
I'm watching a lot. Like, I don't have cable, but I'm pretty committed right now to Hannibal, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, oh, that speaks a lot
for
what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, new.
right.
I'm really excited for Game of Thrones to start again. I used to, like, run a podcast about Game of Thrones.
Sweet.
Called Dark Wings, Dork Words. and I could only do that for about a year, but that was fun. So... And I work at Film Streams, so lots of movies for me.
Cool.
The Omaha Film Festival just finished, and I was a judge for them this year. So I
yeah
watched a ton of narrative films this year. A couple horror films in there. Pretty sweet.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, yeah. I know Mark Longbreak.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
And yeah, that was I mean, those guys run themselves ragged for that thing. So I'm
crazy.
And they're getting bigger every year. I'm super happy for them. So
yeah, they had like, I want to say 666, but
oh my gosh,
I think it was like 609
wow
submissions this year,
dude.
So
and then they had a like kind of a local or a Nebraska made
yeah they had a Nebraska
night,
spotlight
right?
Like Tim Kasher's film played
yeah
and Jason Levering, who's the executive director of the festival, his film played. Mark Weiss was the co-filmmaker on that, and they had so many short films submitted just from Nebraska filmmakers that they were able to do a short
that's
Nebraska
awesome
film block, which was cool.
Yeah.
And even more, they had a documentary, like they had a ton of Nebraska stuff.
That's great.
It was really cool.
That's huge. I'm so happy for those guys. And I think it's great for the community. Kind of gets, you know, the word out, you know, gives Omaha something else to kind of lean on, which is always great. So, do you have, besides the tour, for All Young Girls, anything, any other shows coming up?
We have a show at Duffy's in Lincoln on Wednesday, April 6th.
Okay.
And we also have a show at O'Leaver's on Tax Day, April 15th.
Boo.
Yeah.
I mean, yay for the show, boo for taxes.
Yeah.
Good.
Boo for, yeah, whatever. But that's, I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry. I apologize. That one should be really cool because we haven't played in Omaha for a while, and we probably won't for a while after that because
right
of the tour. And we're really focused on recording.
Good.
And we're playing some private thing. So taking gigs that can help pay for recording
yeah,
is
for sure
important right now.
Yep, totally. I totally understand that. And people can find you on the Twitter at...
Oh, shit, I don't know.
Boombox Molly.
Yeah, Boombox Molly. And that's my Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter, at Boombox Molly. And yeah. then you have a Tumblr that... Talk about your Tumblr real quick.
It's everything ends in the point. .tumblr.com, but it's everything ends in death, so what's the point?
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah,
I ran across it today and started reading some stuff, and I was like, oh man, is this deep or I don't know. I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's like what's oh man,
some of them are like just actual nightmares I've had, like here you go. I'm writing them down to get them out of my head.
Yeah, oh yeah,
I'll just keep having them.
Yeah.
And some of them are like, I don't know, just like song lyrics that can't be song lyrics because they don't rhyme or something. So I'm like, ugh, purge. Here you go, internet.
That's good, man. That's really smart.
Yeah, once I write it down and just put it out there, like I'm done with it.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. Well, all right. So the real reason we have a special guest come over to my basement is for this simple reason. You listened to last week's show. You know what this is about.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you seven questions. It's the same seven questions every single week that we ask someone new. And for the last question, we are keeping score. So, world, I just want to let you know that I'm winning. We'll talk more about that when we get there. So, seven deadly questions. Question number one, what is your favorite horror movie?
I had to think about this all effing week long, by the way, and I have to say Poltergeist. It
really,
yeah,
for the me original?
Like, yeah, of course the original.
I just had
sorry
to,
Sam
I,
Rockwell, you broke I my fucking heart with that one judging. Okay. When I was a little girl is when I saw it, so just having that like female led, but not only female led, but like a little girl leading this film and this happening to her, and I was like 11 or something when I saw it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and the ripping face, and oh my god, all of it was just like magical to me, and I probably watched it like hundreds of times when I was a child.
I don't like the movie, but I remember it's probably one of the first horror movies I ever saw when I was a kid, and it scared the shit out of me. And I mean, I'm 33. I'm still terrified of clowns and that fucking thing under the bed, man.
Oh my god, so good.
It's the worst.
Like, it was so believable. And then when they made Poltergeist 2, I was like, all right, Kane. Like I would have really bad dreams about Kane because he was even more creepy in the second.
Yeah.
And then Poltergeist 3 with that fucking puddle dude. I would not step in a puddle for like 2 years after that movie.
I think for me, the scariest part about that whole series is like the curse that is around the films.
Yeah, with the little girl.
There's the Poltergeist curse. People have died. That little girl
the
died.
The older sister died after the first film.
What?
Yeah. And then Carol, the little girl who played Carol Ann, died after the third film. And like a crew member died making the second film. Look that shit up. Yo.
Yeah. Oh, and like the older sister, she was like brutally murdered.
Yeah, it was bad.
On the front lawn of her home.
In real life?
In real life.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So that's why she wasn't
like
in the second
around
one.
It. You should look it up, man. And I think that's what
excuse
makes
me
the,
a while
the,
I write this down real
like,
quick.
A little creepier is
that
whole curse thing. And so they came out with that remake, and I'm like, oh no, the curse is going to come back.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to Sam Rockwell?
Yeah,
no.
Dominique Dunn, who played the eldest, she died in 1982. Oh, she was strangled by her abusive former boyfriend.
Yeah, like on her front lawn or something like that.
Oh my God.
And then Zelda Rubinstein on the set of Poltergeist 2 received word that her mother passed away. And then the guy who played Kane in Poltergeist 2 died in 1985 before he had accepted the role. What? Wait, what? I don't know. And then...
Wait, so he played it as a ghost?
60-year-old actor who played Henry Kane in Poltergeist 2 died of stomach cancer, diagnosed before he had accepted the role.
Huh.
Wow.
And that, yeah. And then the guy who played Taylor the Medicine Man in Poltergeist 2... He died in 87, and then Heather O'Rourke, who played Carol Ann, died in 88.
How'd
she die? At the age of 12.
What?
During surgery to repair, this isn't glamorous, an acute bowel obstruction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she couldn't poop. And she died because of it.
She died.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I can't believe you didn't know that. Like, it,
it's just another reason why pooping is important.
Oh my God. Some of the best part of my day. Oh my God. This is, wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to do some, there's got to be a book out there about it.
For real.
I'm sure there is.
All right. I'm on top of it. Okay. Let's move on. Question number two. That's crazy. Poltergeist. That's good. That's a good answer. Okay. Number two. How would you want to die in a horror movie?
I don't want to die.
From not being able to poop? Acute bowel blockage.
I don't want to die.
Okay.
Fuck that.
That's fine.
I want to.
Are you going to be the hero?
You want to be like LL Cool J and H2O?
You're the killer.
Maybe.
You could be the killer.
I think that's how I'd like to answer that.
Okay. That's fine.
Cool.
That's cheap. That's fine. We'll move on. Question three, whatever. What's your favorite scary book?
Okay. There's a short story by Stephen King called Survivor Type. Do you know it?
I do not.
Is it in one of the collections?
Yeah. I read it when I was like 12 or something, and I threw the book across the room and wouldn't touch it for like a month because the story scared the shit out of me. It's written diary style, and it's about a surgeon who is in a plane crash, deserted island with nothing but heroin. And it's fucked up, you guys.
What's the name of the story again?
Survivor Type.
I don't think I've read that one. What collection is that in?
I don't remember.
Because I've read a few of his collection of short stories, but that one does not sound familiar to me.
Yeah, I do. Well,
it's been in a couple. So I have Skeleton Crew.
Oh, it's in Skeleton Crew.
Mm-hmm.
I have different seasons, which I'm going to read after the book I'm reading right now. I have to, yeah. All right.
Good answer. Short stories.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Excuse me. Number four, what has been your favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn?
That one, I don't really, because of all the theater stuff that I've done and all the costumes that I've worn, I haven't really been into Halloween as far as costumes go. And I'm the mother of an almost 16-year-old, so I kind of, like, transferred my Halloween costume wearing to the child. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't really have a notable, like, I remember being Strawberry Shortcake when I was 5 and having the plastic mask with the little rubber band, and that scared the shit out of me because
I'm
of how
sure.
creepy my face looked.
That sounds scary as hell.
Even though it wasn't creepy, but it was creepy. Right. So.
Totally. God, those old, like those old plastic, yeah. like from the 80s. I mean, yeah. I'm a...
That they use in horror movies now.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I used to wear that when I was a kid. Like for fun.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Number five. What has been your most terrifying nightmare?
I have nightmares all the time. I have bad nightmares all the time. And I wake up like crying and I scare the shit out of my boyfriend like, all the time. There's one that I've had that like made me think a way that I haven't ever thought before. And I wrote, it's on my Everything Ends in Death, So What's the Point thing. It's called Who Are You Looking For is what I titled it. But it's kind of about like the clouds shifting and then people being hurled out of clouds into the sea. And then they walk out of the sea and kind of take over the earth and like cities are being evacuated. And at one point, I'm like in the forest and I see this cage that used to be like a tiger cage in a circus. And we see all of these people and they look like ash, like they're kind of transparent and see-through. And there's been reports all over the country of people just being hauled off and like being sucked out of their skin. And it's like super creepy. So we're like terrified. So me and a bunch of people get into this cage. And then these people like come out of the trees and they attack the cage and we're locked in. And so these people are attacking the cage, like hordes of dead people are coming out of the trees and it was super freaking scary. And then this guy, his face is like right outside of the cage and he wants to like kill me, not even kill me, but like suck me out of my skin and take me.
Oh my God.
And I asked him, who are you looking for? And he like stopped. And
you don't ask.
No one had ever asked him that. You know, and he said, mi amore. He was like an old Mexican dude, but he wasn't because he was dead. And then once he realized who he was looking for, he like went away. So it spread everybody started asking people, who are you looking for? And like time passed and I was like the leader of all the people that were still alive, you know? And like one little girl was like, when I asked her, she was like, Neil Patrick Harris. And I was like, good luck. So more time passed. Like I saw like dead people that I knew and like people that I was close to, and I would ask them, and every time I would ask someone, who are you looking for, I would just hope that they wouldn't say me.
Oh my God.
Because if you found that one person that you truly loved when you were alive, it meant the end of them. So it's like the first time in my whole life that I have never wanted anyone to love me. Thanks, nightmare.
Like, boy.
It was really terrifying.
You know what I want to do at some point? Have like somebody who analyzes dreams come in, and then, you know, we'd have like, you know, some past guests come in and rehash the dreams, and then the person, the doctor or whatever, would analyze those dreams in front of those people. I mean, that's insane.
It is.
Oh, that's a creepy one too. That's good, Molly.
That sounds like it'd be a good script to make.
Seriously.
I wrote it into a play.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah, I wrote it into a play called Penny Gets Bit, and it was kind of about a guy who like chains his zombie girlfriend up in the bedroom and kills people for her. So,
yay. I like it.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Moving on.
Okay.
Number six, you're in a zombie apocalypse, speaking of, and you have one weapon. And it's not the question, who are you looking for? And it's not a gun. What is it?
Machete.
It really?
Hands down. Machete. That's
fun.
Always. Like, I have one at home. It's ready. You know.
Do you really have a machete at
home? Yeah, I fucking, yeah. I know exactly where it is all the time.
Some people keep guns in the drawer next to the bed.
Sharpen it every other Tuesday. So it's all ready.
One edge is like serrated and the other edge is all clean.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
For one for sawing the head off, one for slicing the head off. Wow. Can we visit your doomsday bunker sometime?
You mean my lady cave?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And finally, here we go, keeping score. I have it written down right in front of me. Who would win? Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, or Leatherface?
This one is, I kind of forgot about this question. If they're all asleep, Freddy.
And
yeah.
No, that's fine.
I don't know. That's so hard because that movie, like, I feel like Jamie Lee Curtis would live. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's
yeah.
not a... I can see Leatherface going all cray with the chainsaw, but I can see Freddy just, like, waiting until everybody's asleep, but then he's like, oh, these aren't unsuspecting teenagers. I'm going to have to fight.
Right.
And really mess with them.
Yeah.
Jason would just keep going. Maybe Jason. Because you can't really kill him.
And he's got a machete.
And he. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Jason.
Final answer?
Jason.
Okay. There you go, Kevin. All right.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
So for, let's see. So far we have Leatherface has one vote
from
Jessica.
Jess.
And I was like, what? Okay. Freddy has three and Jason has two.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Sorry, Michael Myers, you're still a bitch.
I know. I mean, none of these guys ever die, so it's like,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Do you want to get out of here alive?
I am a dancing flame. I'll destroy your homes, the ones that lie within your heart, the ones you pray for.
There's so much blood splashing around in there.
She fell to her knees and bowed to the king. That's what Payman means.
It was destined. The king of hell.
I am safe in the arms of my master. ashamed of what I do.
Last shift, rated R, clocking in at 90 minutes. From Skyra Entertainment and Magnet Releasing, which I found out is Mark Cuban, the Shark Tank guy, owns the Dallas Mavericks. Anyways, thought that was interesting. Written by Anthony DeBlasi and Scott Poiley. Directed by DeBlasi and starring Juliana Harkavy. A rookie cop's first shift in the last night of a closing police station alone turns into a living nightmare. And right off the bat, I mean, even from the description, you're like, okay, another take on Assault on Precinct 13, which I love that movie, the original and the remake. And so I was, I mean, you know, boy, they can do wonders with poster art. It looks scary as hell just from the poster art. So, what do we think, you guys?
So, I was watching this movie, and there's a part in the movie where all of the pictures laid out burst into flames, right?
Right.
My power went out. Like, everything surged, and my power went out, right, and then I screamed right then, because it's a really tense, like, the sound is really crazy right then, and
right,
everything's just crazy. And seriously, the power went out, and I'm, like, in the dark, in the basement, like, oh my God. That was pretty exciting. But I was a little underwhelmed.
I am just with you. Kevin, what?
I like the, I mean, I think my favorite part about the film was the makeup of, like, you know, whenever they used, like, makeup. I thought that was done really well. There were moments that were a little creepy. I felt like all the parts that were meant to be like jump parts were a little predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. The really simple stuff, like all the lockers opening and the photo, and that stuff I enjoyed a lot.
Totally.
It was beautifully done.
So, okay. Before we get any further, say you're in this, I mean, obviously this type of situation would never happen, but say you're put in this situation, would anybody be brave enough to like stick around this place, like, even after the first creepy thing happened?
No, especially not even a rookie cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this was like her first day, wasn't
right.
it?
Yeah, it was her very first shift.
First shift.
And the whole time I'm just like, run away.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so obvious. Like, call your friend. Like,
right.
Get out. And then when she was like, oh, I'm going to go sit in my car, it was like the lamest reason ever that she didn't go.
Right. Well, and then I was just so like, I thought even that specific moment was weird. Like, she said, I'm just going to go sit in my car. She goes and immediately the phone starts ringing. But it rings for like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back in to answer it. And that I was just like, what was the point? Like, couldn't she have turned around right away because she heard the phone? Or like, why did she come back in? Was it to answer the phone? I didn't understand the whole thing.
Yeah, I felt like she was running back in for another reason. But
yeah.
That was the reason.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, rookie cop, I thought it was just so over the top with her. She kept repeating, like, the cop's oath. I thought that was the dumbest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, like, if you're on the Night's Watch, I get it, but... No, rookie cop.
Right.
Yeah. You found a guy peeing and you have to recite that? Like, stop.
Yeah, well, come on. I will say that the tune that the cult ladies...
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, super catchy. And, like, I went to bed with that in my head and I was like...
Humming it in the shower.
Oh, God. Creepy. Oh, God. Yeah, that night my son started singing it to me. I was like, demon! No, he didn't. But so, I mean, bravo. Is that a real song or is that something they, I mean, it sounded familiar, but I think it's just something they made up that's super catchy.
I think the melody of it was supposed to sound familiar. I don't know if it's a real song, but like, I think it was like the melody, the notes that they were singing was very, it's like you heard
my
it
master,
from somewhere.
Yeah. My king. Yeah.
It's like a hymn.
Yeah, like a devil's hymn.
It's the king of hell. It was a hymn to the king of hell.
Right. Well, and so the I can't remember the cult leader's last name.
He had three names. Payman. Yeah,
Payman. Is an actual like king in hell, yeah. Like that people, you know, believe in and bow down to.
Yeah, it's like a demon. That's like the name of the demon. So
yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting that they did that.
Yeah, they did their research for that. That's mm-hmm. a little terrifying. The other thing that drove me crazy, so much backstory happened on the phone, and like I'm not hard of hearing, but I feel like I missed a lot because, you know, it's like muffled phone conversation. And I didn't want to have to keep turning up my TV to hear the phone conversation, then turn it back down when a jump scare came and whatever. And that drove me crazy. It's not like I was completely lost because it's not a super smart movie that you really have to follow. But I thought, you know, if they're going to do something where phone conversations are such a huge part, they need to clear it up a little bit, I felt like. Did that drive anyone else crazy?
I didn't have trouble hearing the phone stuff, but I did wonder why they told me the backstory three different times right. in three different scenes. Like, yeah. I get it. Mm-hmm. Did it need to be 90 minutes? I don't understand.
I mean, that might have been like, we have a 72-minute movie here. We need to stretch it out. How can we stretch it out? And the other thing... What was the references to, like, there's a bunch of references to pigs. Was that for a reason?
I think that was referencing the police.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was deeper than that, but.
No, I think it was just referencing the police.
Okay, because they shot the cops, like her dad and yeah. that kid back then, yeah. Okay.
I did really like the sound design of the film.
For
like,
sure.
When the girl was crawling toward her and all
oh,
those
the
like,
clicks
rrr, clicking.
Oh yeah. My god. Oh, that was so cool. That was so cool. And like, yeah, the way that the building, like you didn't hear any of those doors open, but they were all open. And then the stuff that you did hear was really misleading. And
yeah.
Even like the sound of him peeing on the floor was just like the perfect pee sound.
I don't know. We found the perfect
pee it sound. Was. I don't know if there were any like Wilhelm screams in there, but it was the perfect pee sound.
Right. And another thing I thought was a little ridiculous, like at the end, all of a sudden it turns into like a first person shooter video game.
Right.
I mean, it was a total, right? It was like strap a GoPro on and just.
I was very disappointed with the ending. I felt like it just ended completely abruptly and there's no real resolution. And it was just kind of like.
Cop out.
Here's the credits.
Yeah, it was a total. I don't mind if there's not a pretty little bow on the end. And I don't want it to be like so open that you're like, oh, gotta wait for the sequel. I like being a little thrown off. But this was just like so out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, it was like a. It was like you were playing Duke Nukem or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. They set something up that could have been really cool. And there were things that were shoved in there, like Marigold, the prostitute right. out back, this really clean white lady telling her about the horrible thing that happened there. And I was just like, what is this scene? Like,
right.
why are you there? And why are you not, like... a black man, number one. And why? Because that would have been better. I don't know. I think they just had a bunch of missed opportunities. The ending, like the casting. And I liked when Officer Price, I think that's his name, when he came in yeah. and he's talking yeah. to her and then you turn around and she realized. It was a lot of fun watching her realize that she was being totally fucked with.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were just... things like I didn't understand the bags on the head until I was supposed to understand that, and I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, man, that ending was so sad. I really wanted like her. I wanted to know if her dad was really trying to help her or if that was just another thing that they were doing to get her to stay and messing with her.
Right.
And we don't get to know those things.
Yeah. I thought Juliana Harkavy, what you know, however you say her last name, I thought she was great. I thought she was really,
yeah.
really good actress.
Yeah. yeah.
I was really impressed with her. I liked the idea behind it. There were some good scares. The sound was awesome. The makeup, the special effects, really cool. But I agree, there were so many missed opportunities, and I felt like it was all over the place, and then it was just like scares for the sake of scares.
Right.
And you could see them coming a million miles away, which is fine as long as they're cool. And these were, you know, maybe the first one you're like, oh, cool. And then it's like, it just kept happening, you know, I don't know, like jump scares, it is.
Even just the relatability of her, like, I like her. She was on The Walking Dead. I like her, you know. But then when the dude is up on the scaffolding and she's just like being a cop, sir, you have to get down. Sir, right. There's no like, what are you even looking for?
Yeah.
What are you doing up there? Like trying to get some backstory, trying to figure out, like have a conversation with a person. I mean, I guess that's like a cop thing, but I don't know.
Was that homeless man real, or was he just part of the games that the
I think that was like something that they never resolved.
I read some forum that somebody was really adamant that it was Payman, that it was like just another way that Payman was manifesting himself. We should look and see if the same actor played Payman in that guy.
But it wasn't. I looked it up. It's a completely different person.
Yeah, it was. Okay. I mean, it's a like a Hispanic fella.
No, he was a total white guy.
No. I'm telling you. No, it's a Hispanic fella.
I'm going to look it up, too.
Everybody whip out your phones.
Right?
Excuse me while I whip this out. Jay LaRosi.
Jay LaRosi.
He's the guy who played that homeless guy, and then Joshua Mikkel.
Joshua Mikkel.
Oh, well, he's a Chicagoan. Anyways. Huh. Well.
Jay LaRosi's, the homeless guy's character's name is Panty Belt Patrick Black.
Yeah. What?
See, I must have missed that. I didn't know, even know he had a name.
I missed it, too.
Panty Belt Patrick Black. Totally missed that.
Well,
part.
Good for him. Is it this guy, the guy who played Payman has been, I was looking through his IMDb, he's been a pizza guy or delivery boy in like half a dozen movies.
that's his role.
Yeah, well, finally he's like, yes, cult leader, murderous
every
cult leader.
Is like, hey, we got a pizza boy. Let's get this guy.
He's a pro.
He knows what he's doing.
All right. So, Molly, grading scale, we go 1 to 10. And I feel like I I like to give the benefit of the doubt. And I didn't hate this movie. So I gave it a 6. Who's next? Molly, what
Five
do you
and
think?
A half.
5.5. Yeah. Okay, good.
I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
There were parts that I liked, but I don't think I'll be watching it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't watch it again, but would you recommend someone to watch it?
If I know somebody who's like really, really likes horror movies and really likes those, you know, B horror movies, low budget horror movies and anything like that, I would probably recommend it.
And if they're like, my favorite horror movie is Assault on Precinct 13, they'd be like, well, we have a movie for you. It sent me on a rabbit hole though. Like sometimes if I watch a horror movie that isn't great, I will just watch another one immediately.
Yeah, so you texted me and you were like, oh my God.
I watched 8 movies that day. Like that was the first one, and I was like, "Nope, I have to watch something else." So I watched Visions.
Get that taste out of your mouth.
Yeah, we talked Visions on our first show.
I watched Visions, The Diabolical, The Veil, Curve, Hellions, The Pact, and The Ward.
Wow,
nice!
And then I had to leave the basement, and my daughter joined me for Hellions, which like the color filter on that movie is really beautiful.
I
liked it because I was watching it with a 15-year-old girl, right. And the whole movie is like, don't have sex,
yeah,
or
right.
You're gonna give birth to a Hellion. So she's like, she was saying the craziest shit, and I was just tweeting everything she said because it was the best thing ever. And it's not often that you watch someone eat like a fetus, with a fork. It was great.
See, that was another one of those. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
No.
Yeah.
But it was pretty. It was like a super pretty horror movie.
I also hate Robert Patrick with a passion. The guy, he sucks so bad.
I can't, like, Terminator is my life, so I can't hate him.
Oh, God, can't. he's great in that because he doesn't talk.
Whenever you come in here and interrupt me, you're breaking my concentration. You're distracting me, and it will then take me time to get back to where I was. Understand?
Yeah.
Fine. And we're going to make a new rule. Whenever I'm in here, you hear me typing. Whether you don't hear me typing, whether the fuck you hear me doing in here, when I'm in here, that means that I am working. That means don't come in. Now, do you think you can handle that?
Yeah.
Fine. Why don't you start right now and get the fuck out of here?
All right, Molly, it was a pleasure having you over.
Thank you, guys.
Please come back some more. I love hanging out with you.
I will regret that you asked me to.
No way, man. So make sure to check out All Young Girls Are Machine Guns on Facebook. Follow Molly on Twitter and Instagram at Boombox Molly. Her Tumblr is, tell me again.
Everything ends in death. So what's the point?
There it is. So check her out. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it. We're done. Thank you to Kevin. Thank you to Molly. Thank you to Barnaby Jones. Thank you to Donnelly Family Reunion for our theme music. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. Rate us, download us, do all that shit. Give us reviews so people can find us. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at scaryasshit666@gmail.com. And as always, a mental mindfuck can be nice. We will see you next week. Go Cubs!
Is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by bmoviesandebooks.com.